just before Dean Brown thanks some people and shares a story about his last week or so, Big Wrench Rob has texted in to 12-1200, where standard text messaging rates apply. Dean.
Is it Big Wrench hyphenated or is it just Big?
It's all one word, Big Wrench Rob. Okay. Like one word, no spaces.
Gotcha. Inventive. Like it.
Dean.
Yes.
I'm one of those weird guys who actually keeps track of this stuff. I have a chart. And if Sue and Red's mom are second cousins, then Sue and Red are second cousins once removed.
Oh. I'll let her know. I don't know if that means anything, but I'm looking at Red. His give a crap meter is just hovering around zero.
So, no.
Oh no, look at it.
Bobby cares.
Well, why would he? Why would?
Oh, you mean about the cousin thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. His give a.
Have you even ever met Sue? I don't think you've ever met Sue.
I haven't. Yeah,
yeah,
no.
So we're talking about somebody he's never actually even met.
If we are cousins, but apparently we are, not a very good one.
Yeah, you don't look you don't look anything alike, by the way.
No?
No.
Not related?
No.
Okay.
You don't look at all like Sue.
My cousin's last name's, it's actually Brown as well, so I guess it didn't fully shock me when you enlightened me to that, but yeah, I didn't know until you told me.
Yeah, well, she's a McDonald's.
Earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So, Dean.
Hold on here. Guys, okay. I think I heard Dean singing on the Alpine credit spot. Well, if I was singing on the Alpine credit spot, I didn't get any cash for it. That's wrong.
Maybe he meant, maybe Gurr the Mad meant you were singing with your microphone on when the commercial was going.
I don't think I was singing. Hold on. Just getting a text. This is. No, his mom and I are third cousins. That's from Sue. So, yeah.
Big Wrench Rob, Sue says third cousins.
So that would make sense then. Yeah. So Cam is also a third cousin. You know what? This has gone on way, way longer than it's been interesting.
So we will shift gears.
All right.
We're going to hover over to what your weekend and beginning of the week has been like, because everyone in the city has been impacted one way or another,
for sure,
whether it's electricity or much worse.
Yep.
In some cases. So Dean, I didn't know this. I texted Dean yesterday to say, hey, we're together. What's the plan of the show kind of thing? We kind of reach out whenever I'm hosting with someone. We chat the night before, see what's going ahead the next day. And you told me about your weekend.
Yes.
I didn't know. So, How have the last 4 or 5 days been for you guys?
Well, for us, it hasn't been bad. Like at our house, we lost 5 or 6 really big trees, like 70 footers in the backyard. So we were out there with the chainsaws and we've chopped them up a bit, but it's going to be a while before you can get somebody to come in and take the wood out. Like, what do you do with that much wood? You know, so, but it's no rush, you know, and thank heavens, nothing hit the house. Nothing was damaged. And we got our power back Monday night, which we were very thankful for, and we were doing like everybody else, but out in the country, you know. So I was going downstairs getting pails of water from the sump to pour it in the back of the toilet so you could use the toilets. Because when you're on a well, for people who don't know this, when you're on a well, wells need electricity to run the pump. So when the power's out, you know, toilets don't work, water doesn't run. So we were doing that, and we were fine. We were getting by. We've been through this before. Sue and I both grew up in the country, so, you know, you learn to deal with these things. We are a rental property that we own, though, had a tree come down and hit the back of the house, and so there's some damage there. Not serious, but it's, you know, it's got to be fixed. There's water coming in through that part of the roof. It's not huge, but it's got to be fixed. And something that I learned that I didn't know is there's a hydro pole in the front yard of the rental property, and that was sheared off. It was a tree fell on the line, that pole sheared in half, and so obviously not only is the power out, the power is no longer connected to the house. So we finally get through after 2 days to talk to a live person at Hydro One. And, you know, I understand, you know, like I'm not saying they should have answered sooner. There was things going on. But so when you're talking to the person on Hydro One and they bring up your file, you go, oh, okay, yes. Well, as soon as you get that pole replaced, give us a call back and we tell you when we can, you know, fire your service. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, the pole that's in your yard, you own that. That's your pole. I said, I do? They said, yes, that pole is yours. So it's a secondary pole, which is privately owned by the property owner, you. This is something that generally is only in the country, but I didn't know that. So now I've got to find someone at this time who can come in and replace a hydro pole. Like, who does that? So you're asking around everybody you know, and this lady drove in our laneway last night from Hydro One. She was doing checks. She doesn't do that for her normal job, but all hands on deck. And she said, you know what? I know a guy who might be able to help you. He's a long ways away, but the guy has got a heart of gold, and he's up in Douglas. Douglas is the other side of Renfrew. His name is Bruce, Alan Bruce, and that's what he does. His company, they are a pole. They'll come and install poles. So I called him when we were talking. I was going back and forth with the insurance claims adjuster, the person who had just been assigned to our case. So we didn't even have an adjuster at that. So I'm going back and forth, and he was supposed to be there to meet with Sue today at 1:30 and go through the other stuff. I called Alan Bruce last night at 9 o'clock at night. 9 o'clock at night. I'm figuring, she said call right now. You know, he wouldn't mind. So I called, and I was apologizing him, saying, I'm sorry I'm calling you this late, but she said call right now. And he said, I think I've got some time. I think I can be there tomorrow morning. I said, are you serious? He showed from Douglas, Ontario, the other side of Renfrew. He showed up this morning, him and his daughter. They're the crew. He's got all the machinery. I tweeted out, like, he's got the hi-hoe. They took out the sheared, put in the new one. Like, it's unbelievable. And I couldn't thank him enough. And I said, down the road, when you need a favor, you call me because I owe you a big one. And all the
8 by 10.
8 by 10. Maybe even go 11 by 17. You know, whatever Alan wants. And, you know, in that kind of time frame, it was just unbelievable. And I tweeted out and I said, you know, we have to make sure that after all this has gone away and normal life returns, we all have to make sure that we remember the heroes who got us back to normal. Because it's guys like Alan Bruce, just a working man. Guy's got a small company. It's what he does. And he's working ridiculous hours right now, not because he needs the money, but people need the help. And he feels that need to go out and do that. You know, it's not because he's out there harvesting cash and taking advantage. It's because he, like so many of them, are out there doing this to try and get people back on their feet, get them out of the ditch. And they're everywhere. And they are heroes. And my point is to remember that when it's no longer this time. Remember who the heroes were when you don't need to see them as a hero. You know, when you're driving by, we were driving through Barrhaven yesterday, driving by, and I was warm. There was some hydro guys putting up another pole. And people were rolling down their windows, honking, giving them the thumbs up and saying thank you. That's all. These guys, you know, the men and women out there trying to restore all this stuff, they're working as fast as they can, but they're working like dogs. They are going hard, nonstop, little sleep, all work, doing everything. That's why I have no patience for complainers. I have no patience for people going, well, my powers, no one's doing it to you. These people are doing everything they can to get you back up and operational. So if you have a chance, even just to give them a thumbs up or say thanks or yell thanks or throw them a bottle of water, just do the kind thing. Just be a good person. But more importantly, a year from now or 2 years or 3 years from now, remember who it was that pulled your ass out of the fire. That's the most important thing. It's not thank heroes the day they be here, the day they're heroes. It's remember that they're heroes in 3 years. You know, when Alan Bruce calls me for a favor in 3 years, I don't care what it is, I'm doing it. You know why? Never met him before today. But he was at my house today for the right reasons to do the right thing. Not because he's making $1 million, but because he's trying to do the right thing for somebody. And I was lucky enough that I was the guy that he was doing that for. So that's my only point. You know, there's so many other people, there's neighbors, there's, you know, like in our little neighborhood, everybody is sharing generators, is, you know, people are opening up their homes to neighbors in our area where, you know, come on in and charge. You need a warm shower. Just, you know, and I'm so heartwarming that in my neighborhood, that's going on all the time, everywhere. But when all this is done and we're back to normal, I just think it's so important to not forget who it was who pulled you out of the ditch and remember who they are. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. Maybe in, you know, next year, just call the guy back up. Yeah, I just wanted to call and say thanks again. I was thinking about what you did for me a year ago. Man, you really helped me out. Thanks again. Doesn't have to be a grand gesture. Doesn't have to be expensive. Just remember who the heroes are in a year or two. The heroes today, and you love seeing them today because they're pulling you out of the ditch. Remember who they are next year and the year after. And when they need a hand, you better be there. So anyway, there's lots of people out there who have same stories, but I just wanted to say, you know, just remember who the heroes are today. And when you see a lineman going up on a pole or you see, you know, a young girl like today who was at our place and, you know, she's helping get us back going again, just say, hey, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. You know, just doesn't take much, but understand what they're going through and thank them for it.
What's the name of the company again? Just
It's Alan Bruce is the guy, and hold on, I think the name of his company. I tweeted out a picture that Sue took of the side of his truck, so I can tell you what the name of the. It's called Bruce BPL Pole Line Incorporated out of Douglas, Ontario, and clearly he'll drive a long way to help people. What time was he on the road this morning to get to my house this morning when he's on the other side of Renfrew?
Yeah.
So if you need any pole stuff done, I don't mind doing this free commercial. You need any, Bruce, Alan Bruce. Alan Bruce is your guy. Bruce, BPL, Pole Line Incorporated.
Can't add anything more to what you just said. That was awesome, and I totally agree. I guess the only thing I'd add is, just try to, even though it's frustrating, no matter what the situation is, try to have patience with people that are, whether they're working at a fast food joint or whatever.
Absolutely.
And it's busy because there's not every area is open. Just kind of be patient. Whatever is going on, be patient.
Did you watch the local news last night, our CTV Ottawa newscast?
No, I was at the ball game.
Oh, that's right.
We can talk about that, too.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Speaking of disasters, speaking of natural disasters, we'll talk about that later. I didn't realize there's only one Sikh temple in Ottawa. One. And the people at the temple have no power, but they're running on gas stoves, and they've produced so far with no lights, like they have little lamps. They produced over 700 meals so far, and they're driving them around town to people who need them. Whether you're sick or not, it doesn't matter. Anybody can roll in there, and they're going to help you out. But they're in there; they've got no power themselves. But they've got gas burning ranges, and they're making meals, and they've done it for over 700 people so far. And again, there's nothing in it for them. It's just being a good citizen, being a good neighbor. And you don't have to be of that religion to take advantage of it or appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like Sue and I, after we watched that last night, Sue and I said, they were talking about, how much rice they're producing. Sue and I are going to find a place. We're going to go buy two great big industrial sized bags of rice and drop them off. Just here's some more rice because you're making it for people that you don't even know. And this is how we can help you. This, we're just going to go and drop off some rice. But it's stuff like that. It's who you live next door to. It's your community. It's not from some far-ranging thing. And the government's doing all they can, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, the great kindnesses and the true on-the-ground philanthropy that really helps people's lives is by neighbors. And oftentimes by people you don't even know. That's what it is. That's who it is. It's, it's the guy who owns the little grocery store. In Carp, there's a little grocery store in Carp. Tiny little village, tiny little store. Stays open late. Brings in as much water. Everybody's out of this, out of that. He's got it. Just drop by and see him. Say hi. Support him. He's going out finding extra stuff because he knows people want it and need it. He's got it. Go support him. And that's, the churches, the small groups, the associations. They're feeding people. They're clothing people. Breaks my heart last night watching people on the news on CTV Ottawa throwing away bags of food because it's all gone bad. And you know how many of those people are throwing away food that they can't afford to replace. There's one woman, she basically spent $600 on food a couple of days before the power goes out. She's lost $600 worth of food, and she says, I don't have another $600 to replace it. Like that just rips apart your soul. But the good thing out of that is there's food banks around Ottawa that people are supporting. So she can go there and get something. She can go to if she wants to go to the Sikh temple, they're going to feed her. They don't care what religion she is. They don't care what her name is. They don't care. She's a neighbor. She's welcome. That's how you get through this stuff. You don't get through this stuff with forms and grants and government check a box here. You get through this stuff by being a community and being a neighbor, being a good neighbor. And all you have to do to be a good neighbor is help somebody the way you'd like to be helped. That's all you have to do. You don't have to wear a cape. You don't have to be any kind of a superhero. You just have to care a little. That's all.
Well said, Dino. We will leave it at that, and we'll take a break now. We'll come back, and on the other side, we'll hear from Pierre Dorian.
Oh, no.
Well,
my computer timed out. You're going to have to log me back into the texts.
You shouldn't have.
Well, no, it's back to a picture of Cape Breton.
Cape Breton's a beautiful place.
It is.
Once you log in. Because that should just be the screensaver. It should, either way, we'll can figure that out. We will take a break.
The Pierre Dorian interview is very good.
Yeah.
It's
and
very
touches on some prospects both in junior hockey and in Belleville and what he expects from them. Touches on the 7th overall pick.
Pick 7 is up for grabs
up
if you
for
want.
Up for grabs.
It.
Still looking for maybe top
back.
4. See, I told you it would.
It did all come
top
back.
4 and a top 6. So we'll get to that next. And still to come, we will have John Shannon at 4:30. We'll get into the Ottawa Titans, who won their inaugural home game last night. And back at it tonight at 6:30 from Ottawa Stadium.
This being related to Big Red thing is never going to end. Sue's grandmother, Bonali, Bonali, is Cam's great-grandmother and their first cousins. I don't think I can even follow that. I don't even know what that means. Do you know who we're talking about?
Now, if you're listening, nice to meet you. Maybe we'll grab lunch sometime.
Is that your great-grandmother? Do you know the name Bonali?
It doesn't ring a bell. No, it really doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys know the name Pierre Dorion?
I just want it to stop.
Pierre Dorion will be
it's going to be good.
Next
Listen,
year.
He stay here.
In the box earlier this morning. We're going to replay that next year on The Drive on TSN 1200. Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. I'm Graham Creech in for Lever Sage. Dean Brown is in for AJ Jakubek. Kem Clements in for Matt Conisvita. We had Connor McGahey, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche, join us right at the start of the show at 2 o'clock. John Shannon will join us at 4:30, about an hour from now. We're going to replay Pierre Dorion in just a moment.
Here's a good text.
Yeah.
The information you have entered is incorrect. Please enter login and password. You have 4 attempts remaining. Somebody texted that.
My guess is it's Josh.
I don't know. It doesn't
Josh say. Is a... Here, I'll give you an example. Josh listens to every show, like 6 a.m. to if there's a Sens game, and he's a Habs fan.
Hey, Josh, how are
to
you?
To midnight.
See, I like that.
Josh says, or this is an earlier text.
Mm-hmm.
It's like listening to two Deans. This is when Connor was on.
Oh, yeah?
Connor and Dino, very much alike, except for the looks, smarts, and good takes.
Yeah, he's got a way to go there.
Yeah, and you know what? I just went back to the text history. It was Josh, the one that you just read.
Oh,
so
is it?
He's making fun of you for the logging in, logging out thing.
Yeah. Well, it turns out I got it right, even though I didn't even know I got it right. Thank you very much, Josh. By the way, talking about the small store in Carp, it's the Carp Food Liner, Valley Scoops.
Nice.
Very good family.
Just, Tina, a couple of things going on in Ottawa today.
Yep.
The Blackjacks play their season opener, and I think many kind of feel like it's almost the franchise's welcome to Ottawa because the first
Hard
year
to
was
start
a bubble.
In a pandemic. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
First was bubble. Last year, I think there was 3 games where they had any fans at, or they were allowed to have any fans at. So they host Fraser Valley at 7:30. So they get their season underway.
Good luck. Congratulations.
The Ottawa Titans.
Is it Titans or Titan?
Titan en français.
Why?
They won their inaugural home game 2-0 over the Otters last night.
Nice unis.
Yes, very nice unis, actually. The red and white pinstripe.
Yep. Very Cincinnati Reds, kind of.
Yes, yes. Evan Grills calls St. Albert home.
Mm-hmm.
Struck out 15 over 7 innings.
That's the cheese. Get it? St. Albert's.
Nice. AJ Wright, who happened to join us on the drive yesterday, hit a solo shot. Right near us, too. AJ and I were sitting in the... like the beer garden, having a couple of beers. I was trying to
pump
his ego up.
I was going to say, after that opening pitch, did they kind of make a separate little corral for the corral of shame?
No, he heard it, though, on the in-house announcer,
yeah.
Who I apologize, I do not know the name. Right after AJ's pitch, said, well, you're going to have to work on that, AJ, get back to the gym.
Yeah, at least try and get it down to one hop.
AJ took some last night. He took a little bit. You know what? The morning guys were kind. I felt bad for AJ.
I don't want to pick on him, but it's so hard not to. Like, literally. They weren't pitching from the mound. You were there. You didn't throw. You lost the toss, so AJ got to throw, and you had to watch it. So you're not even on the rubber. You're not 66-6.
No.
What would you say you guys were, 40 feet?
Yeah, I was busy videotaping AJ.
I bet he's paying you a lot of money not to release that tape, too.
Oh,
he?
Yeah. He
you
asked,
want to keep
he
that
asked
tape.
Me to delete it.
You want to keep that.
Oh, I'm keeping it. I promised him. I did promise him I wouldn't put it on social media, but I told him I wouldn't be deleting it. So I want to say he was about 40 feet, maybe inside that. We knew. So when we got to the ballpark yesterday, we knew that or we thought that both of us were throwing, as well as one of the Bose owners or creators of Bose. So we found out
Bose
just
Brewery.
Bose Brewery, yep. We found out just before that it, one from Bose and one from TSN 1200 would be tossing the first pitch. So and AJ and I had warmed up because I knew he wanted the warm up. So we before our show yesterday, we went to the parking lot and we knew we weren't going to be on the bump. So we went about 50 feet apart and probably threw 20 balls. So I knew there was a chance of this happening because it happened in our warm up about 20% of the time. And so I asked AJ, how do you want to handle it? Like you're the guy that's always on the drive. Do you want to represent your show? Do you want me to do it? And he's like, let's flip a coin. So we flipped a coin. He won or lost, however you look at it.
Oh, lost now.
Yeah. He lost the toss.
He may have thought it was a win, but clearly it's a loss.
I probably should have just stepped up and
you should
done
have,
it.
For his own good, you should have just said, AJ, give me the ball.
Part of me was
just give me the ball.
Like obviously AJ is more recognizable as a play-by-play voice. Several teams that that call home here. He's on the drive. He's the main co-host of the drive. But that is, and then part of me was kind of like, it would be entertaining.
It turned out to be.
I did feel bad for him. I'm not going to take too many shots at him. I'm not going to take any shots. I felt bad for him. I know that his plan was to airmail it. Like he's like, so I don't go in the dirt. I'm going to throw it over the catcher. Like I'm just launching it. But then
didn't happen at all.
Well, the person that went before him threw a perfect strike.
Yeah.
And then I think AJ was like, well, I can't throw it over the catcher now. I got to get it to the end. And he got it in his head.
I was not there, but just from the video that I saw that you produced, the gentleman who threw the perfect strike heater was an older gentleman. What would you, if you had to guess the other gentleman's age, the general vintage, would you say 70s?
Roughly. That would be my
guess.
So
if you're AJ, you're standing there and a 70-something man just throws a heater for a strike and now you've got the ball in your hand. You're really not going to say anything, are you?
Can I just say quickly what a warrior, a guy growing up playing, obviously junior hockey, I'm sure took a toll on his body. And he did say that his shoulder, it's seen better days. And
turn Cam's mic off.
I think.
turn Cam's mic off right now.
Just quickly, Dean, and I think you would like this, that the only fight you lose is the one you don't take part in. So I think.
No, that's not true.
Oh, okay.
The fights you lose are the ones where you get punched out. That's called losing. You know the guys who say the only fights you don't lose are the ones you don't take? Guys who lose a lot of fights. No, that's not true. I'm making that up. I actually very much believe in what you're talking about. It's never wrong to stand up and give it a shot. I was joking there. But in this case, you know, he really wasn't. He won a coin toss. But skipping it twice. So let's review once again. So AJ claims that he played youth baseball with Jerome McGinley.
That's what he did say that, yes.
But skips a ball twice on the way to home plate when a 70-something-year-old man throws a heater for a strike. And let's roll back the clock. Ran track in high school, but lost a race to Terry Marcotte. Are we seeing a trend here? My suggestion...
Terry does have his number in pickleball as well.
And Terry beat him in pickleball. Okay. My suggestion for our friend is stop accepting challenges. Just stop doing that. You're not helping yourself accepting these challenges.
We will leave it at that for now. If anyone wants to weigh in, they can. Before we play Pierre Dorion,
poor AJ.
While we're on the local sports train here, yeah. Paul has texted any score update on the Ottawa Junior Sens Junior A game at the Centennial Cup this afternoon. Well, I can tell you I don't have a time left in the second period, but the official Hockey Canada website has it 1-1 between Ottawa and Summerside in the second period.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the latest update I have there, and we'll keep you posted. But now let's replay the interview. Sens General Manager Pierre Dorion in conversation with AJ Jakubek and Brad Fritch earlier today on In the Box.
obviously I was at the Worlds until last week, came back for a day, went to Winnipeg, got back, started our amateur scouting meetings on Monday. Those will go probably till Friday or Saturday. Next week is the combines. The following week of the 6th is pro meetings. So it's a very busy week, time of the year for us. And before that, obviously, I was at the Worlds.
Pierre, good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Glad you are with us. I wanted to ask you about the NHL playoffs.
Hello.
I think we've lost Brad momentarily.
Yeah.
So, well, why don't we continue in that vein? What do you make of what you've seen so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs? How much do you watch? And because you're busy with other things running the organization, and you know, what have you seen so far over the course of a round and a half?
Well, I watched a lot of the first round, even though I was in Europe. At 2 a.m., I'd somehow find a way to get up, and I'd watch a lot of the series that was going on. And then, you know, around 4:30 Helsinki time, I found a way to watch a bit of hockey. When I got back, my body needed to adjust, but I found the first round was unbelievable. I found it some of the best hockey I've seen in a long time. It was competitive. Obviously, I watch a bit more of some of the series in the East and some on the West Coast. But I thought it was unbelievable. The compete level, the execution, I think the energy was something that, you know, hopefully we can get there sooner than later, the Ottawa Senators.
Sorry, Pierre, I'm back. No idea what happened. So watching the playoffs, do you see any trends compared to last year, the year before, that are becoming a little more prevalent in terms of style of play, in terms of the type of players that are succeeding, or do you see it kind of a constant as we move forward in these playoffs?
No, I think in the first round, contrary to other years, you saw more penalties being called. I don't know if the numbers are, you know, reflect that, but it felt like in previous years, it'd be, you know, two penalties a side. And in this first round, you saw more power plays. I think you saw more goals than previous years. It felt like you saw more goals. So, you know, I don't think there was, you know, there might have not as been as much clutching and grabbing and interference because you saw some interference penalties being called. But as far as style of play, I think it was a bit more wide open. And I can tell you it was definitely entertaining to watch for, you know, whether you work in hockey or you're a hockey fan. It was as good as I've seen in the last years.
When you watch these playoffs, how close do you think your team is, and what are the needs that need to be filled before you're able to compete at that level?
Well, obviously, we'd like to get there sooner than later. Obviously, I think the first step is to try to get into the playoffs. And once you get in, you know, anything can happen. Obviously, there's some really strong teams in the playoffs. We've never hid the fact that, obviously, we'd like to add a top four defenseman, but those don't grow on trees. And as I said previously, I think every team that pretty much needed a top four defenseman when got one before the playoffs started and paid a significant price for it. Obviously, we also need to add some depth up front and some scoring up front, and those are two things that we know that we have to do internally. And whether it's, you know, sacrificing prospects, picks, current players to upgrade, you know, within our own lines, our own roster, that's something that we'll look at in the offseason.
Pierre, some of the fans are interested in some of your injury updates. Can you give us an update on Matt Murray? I think you had said a couple of weeks ago that he was staying in Ottawa for the summer. How is he progressing?
As far as I know, Matt was in here actually yesterday. Not that I want to talk about his family situation, but I think they lost power yesterday. So I saw him in the building yesterday, and he looked great. He'll be ready for camp. He was in good spirits. He's working out. So I believe, you know, he talked that he had a concussion, and, you know, he's working out right now. So we don't see any hurdles for him playing for us. He was really trying to push hard to get to play for Canada at the World Championship, but just didn't have enough time.
Just back on the, you know, the addressing those needs when you're looking to potentially get a top four defenseman or some added scoring and depth up front. Would the number seven pick be in play for that, or is that something that's off limits
based on, you know, just what you know you might get at that spot?
No, I think we got to look at everything. You know, we're having amateur scouting meetings right now, and I can get more into that and how we go about that when we put a list together. But, you know, Trent Mann and the group have done a really good job of stockpiling our prospects. We've had, you know, a year where we had three first-rounders, it'd be 3 years ago now, when we took Stutzla, Jake Sanderson, and Ridley Gregg. So maybe this is the year that we sacrifice, that we move pick seven to get an impact player that can help us right away. We're not going to go and get a guy that's, you know, a pending UFA in a year's time. I don't think that'd be really smart for us to do. But if we can get a guy that we know we will have some control over for, you know, more than a few years, then that's an option. That's something we definitely look at. And, you know, it's no secret that we have a lot of good young players, but adding an impact player or someone that could come in and help us get to that next level is something that we'll definitely look at.
Pierre, what are your expectations for Zach, and I apologize if I don't get his name right, Ostapchuk? I saw that he was having an unbelievable playoff season in the WHL. What do you see him kind of turning out to be?
Well, we see him turning out to be, we always believe that we should let the players, I think it's pronounced Ostapchuk, and if I'm probably wrong on that, we always believe in letting players figure out what role they're going to play. You know, it's where's Ridley Gregg going to play one day in the Ottawa Senators lineup? Where is Zach Ostapchuk going to play one day? I went out there to see him play in March, and I was very impressed with his work ethic. The Vancouver Canucks, Vancouver Giant GM came up to me and said it's one of the best captains they've ever had. And that's saying a lot for someone who's an 18-year-old, not a 19-year-old. He's a big body. He plays the game the right way. That game, he knocked out, I think, a bigger opponent. He had a fight, but, you know, not that I care as much about that. I just care about how they play. And I was impressed. You know, he really plays the game the right way. And he had tremendous playoffs. They upset someone in the first round. You know, he had a good round. He was leading playoff scoring for a while. So I think it says a lot about what we have. We have a good prospect there. Hopefully he can battle for a spot for the World Junior that will be coming up in this August, and the one obviously in December and January, and then we'll see what comes with him. But he's someone, not that I want to talk too much about him, but he's someone that after a few scrimmages, I turned to Peter McTavish, and I talked to DJ, and we talked to the staff that we got him signed right out of camp because we knew we had a really good prospect there, and we wanted to get him signed right away, and we did that at last year's camp.
Is the scoring a bit of a surprise in the sense that, you know, when I talk to people out west, they kind of viewed him as a guy that would probably play in the NHL, but maybe in a third-line type of role, but 23 points in 12 games in the playoffs suggests that maybe there's some more upside that's untapped.
No, and I think that's a good point. Our guys saw him, you know, whether it was a third line or second guy when we drafted him, but they said, you know, they knew about the character, they knew about the work ethic, and, you know, those guys always tend to improve and, you know, sometimes overachieve. And that's the reason we took him at that position, and a lot of credit goes to our scouts for taking him at that position. And, you know, I think we'll see what happens next year, and, you know, we'll see, you know, how he looks at camp, and from then, you know, how he'll look. Most likely he'll go back to junior next year, and how he looks for the Vancouver Giants next year and moving forward. But, you know, he's someone that I think his offensive upside is something that was untapped before.
Can you give everyone a little bit of insight about how the Senators players are playing at the World Championships? I think I've seen Drake Batherson is second in Team Canada scoring, Adam Gaudette's even though he's a free agent, has scored some timely goals, restricted free agent, has scored some timely goals for the American team. What have you seen from the Senator players over there?
Yeah, obviously, I went to the Worlds to see some of the draft-eligible guys. You know, there's a few high-end guys that are there that could be in the mix at pick seven. There's a few guys that probably that watch that could be in the mix, you know, for a second-round pick. So, obviously, I saw Canada a bit more than a few of the other teams, but Thomas had a really, you know, really good few games. I talked to DJ this morning. He seems very happy. Drake has found his form of probably pre-injury, where we felt here that he was probably our best player who performed the best. So those two guys have been good. Nick Holden's been solid like he was here. Austin Watson and Adam Gaudet have done the job for the U.S. I think Adam's, produced offensively, and Austin has played his role that he plays here where he kills penalties, he checks in the game that I saw for them over there. So they've all performed really well. Tim Stutzel, just to give everyone an update, injury. We're really fortunate that both Dr. Overy and Dr. Cregan were there, and also Dom Nicoletta, our head of athletic therapist, is with Canada. So they were all, they all had the chance to see him, observe him. It's just a recurring same injury that he had previously when he missed games. And, you know, everyone felt that, you know, probably 7 to 14 days is the time he needs off. So he won't be playing for Germany, and we feel bad because, you know, it's getting to play in a quarters of, a world championship would have been really beneficial for Timmy's progression.
Pierre Dorion is our guest, general manager of the Ottawa Senators. Sticking with the World Championships, you mentioned a lot of young players there, from Slavkovsky to Nemitz to Juracek, Kemmel, amongst others. After having a look at those players and some of the other players in the draft, if you do keep the pick at 7, where does this kind of rank in terms of drafts versus past years? Is it a real high-end draft? Is it kind of in the middle? Where do you kind of rank this group of prospects up to, say, number 7?
Well, up to number 7, you're going to get a good player. There's no doubt about that. We'll see how the list falls after this week, and after we sit down at the combines, after we do some interviews, we might bring some players into Ottawa, so we'll have a better idea if we spend some time with them. But from seeing what I've seen through the year, discussing with Trent Mann, who does a great job, we're going to get a good player. I wouldn't say we're going to get a superstar, but we're going to get a good NHL player. Whether that's a top 6 forward, top 4D. I know at the end of the line, that player will fill that role for sure once he's reached full maturity. It's doubtful that he plays for us next year, but depending who the player is, he could play for us in 2 years from now.
Pierre, there are a couple of young defensemen in Belleville who. We'd be curious to know if they're ready to make the next step to the NHL, and if so, is there one that you expect over the other in Lassie Thompson and Jacob Bernard-Docker? And if they make that jump, you got a lot of NHL defensemen. How do you see that playing out going forward?
Brad, one problem to have is you can never have too many NHL caliber defensemen. As we saw last year, guys go down all the time. You get injuries. And you need most teams. I think we used, if I'm off on the summer, I think we used 11 last year. And if I'm off, I apologize. But I was impressed with the play of both Bernard Docker and Thompson, and as well as Max Ginnett. We felt that Max Ginnett made huge strides if you're looking at the right-hand side. Obviously, Lassie probably had a better first half than second half. But in the last month, Bernard Docker, and through the 2 games in the playoffs that I was there, Bernard Docker was our best defenseman. So both, I think, are knocking at the door of the NHL. It's not the worst thing to overdevelop a defenseman. So when when you call them back up and when they're here, they'll be here for the long run. At times last year, Lassie was leaking a bit of oil, and at times it was too much for Bernard Docker. But that's, they're not the same players at the upcoming training camp. They won't be the same players that they were during the year last year. They will both have taken a step. So it's just, we'll see how the chips may fall. Those two guys have top 4 potential. I feel Max Ginnett has NHL potential, and, he probably started the farthest and made the biggest stride, but all 3 of those guys, we feel could be NHL defensemen with, different type of impacts down the road once they reach their full maturity.
What other Belleville Senators have a chance to make the jump next year and make the hockey team out of training camp?
Well, I think you got to look at the way Mark Gostelic played. He's definitely someone that when he was up here, he showed that, he can play in the NHL. Can he play, 82 games? That'll be up to him and how he plays once camp starts, and we've got quite a few exhibition games. I'm sure we'll announce our exhibition game schedule soon, so he'll get his chance. I think Sokolov is knocking on the door. I think we just want to see a bit more consistency out of him in a very short sample size. Lodine, because he's an older prospect, showed us he could possibly, you know, if we're realistic, he'll need till Christmas, but he's someone that, you know, has high ability. You know, up front, those are the guys that could be knocking on the door as far as camp. And obviously the defenseman that we talked about, coming out of junior, the one guy that, you know, he's coming here to get a job is Ridly Greig, who a lot of people we felt was maybe the best player in the WHL this year. But, you know, that could be an argument made one way or another. So, you know, those would be the guys that could be knocking on the door once training camp comes.
How's your golf game, Pierre?
I have not touched a club since the GM's meeting.
It's probably good for your sanity, right?
No, I wish I could, but with what happened last weekend, I was supposed to get my first round, but I didn't get in with, you know, there were more important things than playing golf last weekend with everything that happened.
Of course, of course. Appreciate you joining us. How about an update on Jake Sanderson? I know he had come into Ottawa and then re-injured his hand, I believe. What can you tell us about Jake Sanderson's injury?
Jake is on the right path, obviously, from the time he re-injured it right before our last two games of the year. It was going to be 6 week in a cast. We had to just put him back in a cast to make sure nothing would happen. But if you know anything about Jake Sanderson, how he handles himself, how he's already a pro and has the maturity beyond his years, he'll be ready for camp, and he'll be at development camp when development camp happens right after the draft. So we'll get a chance to see him, you know, most likely, unless there's something that I'm not aware of. By that point in time, he'll be skating, and our fans will get a chance to see him.
One last one for me as well, just on plans for hockey ops. Do you have any plans to add to your group in the off season?
Well, I think as a whole organization, we're starting to really staff up after the, you know, post-pandemic. So obviously it's something that we're going to look at. The business side is going to look at. You know, we know we need to add people. But adding people, we got to add good people too at the same time.
Pierre, appreciate the time. Enjoy your busy time, and best of luck with everything coming up in the next few weeks. It's going to be a big off season and a busy off season for the hockey club.
Yes, thanks, AJ, and I hope your first pitch last night at the Ottawa Titans was good.
It was terrible.
Well, I'm a big baseball fan. If I would have known, I would have went to the game, but I'm sure I'm going to get out to a game sometime this summer.
I rated a 1 out of 10, so Brad gave me a 2 out of 10, but I thought it was generous.
Was it better than the one that's 50 cent?
It bounced twice before getting right into the glove, so slightly better, but not much.
No. It's great that they brought out a big-time Ottawa celebrity like you to throw the first pitch. Anyway.
I'm sure.
Anyways, thanks for having me on, guys, and enjoy.
There goes Sens General Manager Pierre Dorion, who joined in the box earlier today with AJ Jakubek and Brad Fritch.
You know, Pierre used to play competitive baseball. Did you know that?
I don't
played
think
on a
I
team with
that.
Rena Rushford. I think Rena was on that team, and Donnie Brennan was on that team. City competitive baseball. Very good player. Very good athlete. The other thing people don't know about Pierre, very good golfer. Like, that's why, you know, he and Fritchie know each other through golf. And Pierre's, when he can play and get some practice time in, very good golfer.
Busy guy.
But, you know, last couple of years, pretty hard to do that with. It's now a 12-month league, you know, there's no big gaps in the summertime anymore where you can really work on your game if you're a general manager. And that's just the life they lead. But when he gets time to play and work on his game a bit, pretty good player.
We'll take a break and then react to some of the things he had to say on the other side. And coming up at 4:30, John Shannon joins us on The Drive on TSN 1200.